Don't touch that dial. It's time for the Chrysler Air Temp Program. Fibber McGee and the good old days of radio. The makers of Chrysler Air Temp, air conditioning for the home, for business, and for industry, bring you Fibber McGee and the good old days of radio. Written by Phil Leslie and starring Jim Jordan, Chuck Shaden, great voices from radio's golden age, and me, Larry Thor. Tonight you'll hear again great sounds from not so long ago. Sounds from those golden days when radio was radio and every night a new adventure. So come with us for the next hour as we visit once again with Fibber McGee and the good old days of radio. This year at Air Temp, we're celebrating a mighty important event in air conditioning history, our 40th anniversary. Yes, Air Temp started cooling people way back in 1934. That's when Walter P. Chrysler put the finishing touches on his famous Chrysler building in New York City. And one of those touches was central air conditioning, the first of its kind in a modern skyscraper. Engineered and built by Chrysler. Air Temp's been at it ever since. Cooling everything under the sun, homes, schools, offices, factories, every kind of building and every kind of room in every kind of climate. And all through the years, from 1934 to 1974, Air Temp has put something into air conditioning nobody else can. Chrysler Engineering. It all adds up to the most modern air conditioning, quiet, efficient, dependable. That's why, despite all the changes 40 years can bring, Air Temp quality is still the finest. Choose Chrysler Air Temp with confidence. If you can picture one of those big old-fashioned radios, the kind with lots of tubes and about six dials, and if you can picture a ham-handed householder with a lot of tools and about 6 cents worth of talent, then you've got the picture at 79 Wistful Vista, the home of Fibber McGee.
I hope I'm getting these tubes hooked up right, so they don't blow a fuse again. Because when Chuck Shaden gets it... Ah, that's got it. There. Now if I connect this wire from the wall plug to this wire in the radio, it ought to light up and start... Oh, my gosh. How could that make the doorbell ring? Must have got my wires crossed somewhere. I'll try that again because... Oh, brother. I've got the biggest short circuit here since they put Uncle Sycamore in the electric chair with his iron pants on. That blew out every... Oh, hey, maybe that's... Yeah. Come in. Oh, hi, Chuck.
Hi, Mr. McGee. I thought maybe you weren't home because I was getting worried. How's the radio? Got it fixed yet?
Not exactly, but I'm working on it.
You know, I don't know. I'm still pretty skeptical about how you can get those old radio shows out of that set now, 30 years after they were broadcast. Explain that McGee theory of radio dynamics to me again, will you?
Certainly, my boy. You see, the McGee theory states, and I quote, old radio shows never die. They just stay in a holding pattern.
Holding pattern?
Yeah. Now, what that means is, when this old radio was new, there was maybe 20 different programs being beamed into it from 20 different stations, all at once at the same time, see?
Well, yeah, I see, but...
But only one of those programs could get out through the loudspeaker at a time, you see? So the other 19 programs are still in there. They're all condensed in the condenser there, just waiting to get out through the loudspeaker.
But how...
And if I can get this set fixed just right... We ought to be able to hear some of them tonight.
I don't know how you do it.
All it takes is talent, my boy. You see, fixing a radio like this is a very sensitive, very delicate science.
I can see that.
You got to have the soul of an artist, the hands of a brain surgeon, and the gentle touch of a butterfly lighting on a dandelion. Yeah. Hand me that hammer.
Here.
Thanks. Get working, you ding blasted... Crumb flunkered, two-bit collection of tinkered out tubes. Before I beat the bejeweler. Listen to that baby hum, yeah?
That's amazing.
Just takes the right touch, that's all. Okay, what do you want to hear, something?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've been thinking about what a great radio night Monday used to be. Now, if you can get hold of a Monday back in the 40s someplace...
Okay, we'll reach back in there and see what we can get. I'll set the tuner for Monday, shoot a few amps into the amplifier, and...
Lux presents Hollywood. From Hollywood, California, the Lux Radio Theater presents W.C. Fields and Ann Shirley in Poppy.
Lux presents Hollywood. To the thousands of loyal listeners who wouldn't miss a Monday night with us, to the thousands of loyal women who insist on Lux Flakes, our grateful thanks. Your purchases of Lux Flakes make these programs possible. Our bill tonight is headed by W.C. Fields, Ann Shirley, John Payne, and Skeets Gallagher in Poppy. We'll also hear from Miss Margaret Graham of the Algy Barn Self Floater Circus, who tells us of customs, costumes, and superstitions of the circus. Louis Silvers conducts our orchestra. And now, here's our producer. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille. Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Between the ages of 11 and 15, Mr. W.C. Fields, born Claude William Dukenfield, never slept on a real bed. He spent his nights under stairways, in box crates and doorways. Having no home, he'd become the idol of Philadelphia's other small boys. The toughest brats for miles around would seek him out for a fight. Fields never could refuse a challenge, and his bulbous nose is really a red badge of courage. It stands today as a radiant monument to the valor of its possessor and to the amazing accuracy of his opponent's fists. His fame as a juggler began with a $10-a-week job at Atlantic City. Fields was part of a free entertainment, which the management staged to stimulate the sale of refreshments. When business was dull, he would wade into the surf, scream for help, and pretend to drown. Huge crowds would collect, and while the victim was being resuscitated, the refreshment business would flourish. It was not unusual for Mr. Fields to drown three or four times a day. To this day, his character remains unchanged. He is still Fields against the world, a strange combination of cynicism and sentiment, of stern truth and honeyed prevarication. Mr. Fields starred in Dorothy Donnelly's stage play, Poppy, and also in the Paramount film from which comes our radio adaptation. His latest Paramount picture is The Big Broadcast of 1938, and we hear him tonight as Professor Eustace P. McGoggle, as the Lux Radio Theater presents W.C. Fields and Ann Shirley in Poppy. Fairgrounds on the outskirts of a tiny Indiana town in the year 1881. At the end of the midway on a rickety platform stands a bulbous-nosed gentleman known as the Professor. In one hand he holds a decrepit banjo, in the other a quart bottle of purple bark sarsaparilla, guaranteed. With his old top hat riding perilously on the bridge of his nose, he leans down to the crowd and addresses them in a rasping baritone.
Now, step right up, ladies and gentlemen, close to the platform. Step out of the gutter bar and let the water run. You're here absolutely free of charge. My charming daughter, Poppy, flower of the song world. In a song recital, and I shall accompany her on that noble instrument, the Cadula Cadula. I thank you. It's my privilege and pleasure to introduce the most remarkable scientific discovery of marvel modern times. Purple bark sarsaparilla, $1 a bottle. Four quarters, one smacker. Purple bark sarsaparilla, ladies and gentlemen, the one cure. Remedy for man, a beast, fish, fowl. Grow hair on a billiard ball.
Will it grow hair in a pool ball?
No, but the eight ball.
It's a fake.
Well, you impugn my honor.
So that sawing a woman in half a fake. I saw her afterwards and arrested her.
Well, you astound me. I thought they were killing from 8 to 12 women a day.
Let me through. I want to see the man who sells that remedy.
Oh, that's fine. Let me through. How do you do? Lovely weather we're having. How many bottles, Chris?
None. I bought one bottle of that vile stuff from you yesterday.
Oh, so you did. So you did. How's your Adam's apple today?
I never had an Adam's apple.
Oh, how unfortunate.
You sold me this stuff for my dyspepsia. I spilled a little on the floor last night, and my cat licked it up.
And this morning, expect to read it in your bulldog's eye. How interesting.
He's dead.
Overdose. He should have only taken a nip. Cat nip.
That medicine of yours killed him.
Just a moment. Step aside, young lady. Step aside. It cures hoarseness. Ladies and gentlemen, it cures hoarseness. It cures the most stubborn case of hoarseness. One little drop of this bottle, I can't see, will cure the most chronic graceful. That cures horseman!
Chet, over this way.
Yeah, he is over
here. Chet, we better get out of here quick, Dick.
Quiet, dear. Ixnay, I can say.
Sheriff!
But she's getting the sheriff. Come on, Dick.
He's only quitting, dear, just her farm. I'll probably sell a bottle to the Gildersleeve.
Where is he? Point him out!
Look, Dad, she did get the sheriff.
There he is, Sheriff!
Hey, no!
He's coming over here.
Copy, my child.
What, Dad?
Take it on the lamb, my little fawn. The Bunyan steeplechase is on.
There they go.
Hey, what happened? It went out of sync or something.
I think it went down the sink.
That was the Lux Radio Theater.
I'd sure like to hear more of that. That producer, was that really Cecil B. DeMille in person?
You got a sharp ear, son. Yep. DeMille was on that show until 1945. Bill Keeley took his place then when CB refused to put up a buck for a union project.
I read about it. AFRA, the Radio Actors Union, voted to charge each member $1 so they could fight some legislation that would outlaw the union shop, right?
That's right.
And DeMille refused to pay it.
That's right.
Because he was in favor of the legislation and he wasn't about to spend even 1 cent to beat it.
Yep. AFRA finally had to suspend him. That meant he couldn't work in radio anymore.
So because of a principle, he gave up the Lux Radio Theater. Man, it must have cost him a bundle.
I figured he was making about $2,000 a week or so. Grocery money.
Even today, that's grocery money.
I offered to take his place. For less dough, even. But they said I wasn't quite the type. Too tall for radio, they said.
They used to have some great actors on Lux. And remember how they always ended the show?
Yeah, when the stars came out for their curtain call.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get this thing going again, maybe I can...
Now, Mr. DeMille. Ladies and gentlemen, in this ring you are about to witness one of the most dazzling and electrifying exhibits ever countenanced by man. It is known to science as the Probatus Felsium, and to the world in general as the nose that launched 1,000 quid. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen, accompanied by W.C. Fields and Ann Shirley.
Thank you. Thank you, but let's be informal. Just please call me Whitey.
Did you ever really travel with a circus?
Oh, yes, Ann. I once lent my services to a peregrinating mountebanks. I was with him for a brief sabbatical. He made me valet de chambre to the elephant.
You mean you packed its trunk?
Yes, I'll never forget my first day under the big top. The wardrobe mistress handed me a uniform, a dazzling creation of red and gold. The gold was counterfeit.
Did it fit you, Mr. Fields?
It fit me fine, Mr. DeMille, but it required every ounce of strength in my frame to get it on that elephant. Her name was Gertrude.
Go on, please. What happened then?
I recall one beautiful afternoon as I was sitting in front of Gertrude's stall when a little nipper ambled up, a child, Annie, with a bag of peanuts. The little wretch pointed at my nose and said, "Look, Mama, this elephant talks." Did my nose turn, my face turn red?
But, Mr. Fields, don't you know that anything washed in Lux never changes color? Might I recommend that you dip your nose, into a noggin of those beautiful Lux suds?
Madam, do you too wish to impugn my honor? I shall be heckled no more. Mr. DeMille, I bid you good night.
Good night, Mr. DeMille, and thank you.
Good night, Ann. Good night to help you.
Our sponsors, the makers of Lux Flakes, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday night when the Lux Radio Theater presents Edward Arnold, Fay Wray, and H.B. Warner in The Boss. This is Cecil B. DeMille saying good night to you from Hollywood.
Come in.
Hello, pal. Hello, Chuck.
Hi, Breezy. Hello, Mr. Thor. I didn't think you'd remember me.
Well, how could I forget? Fibber introduced us last time. You're the guy who's nuts about old-time radio, huh?
That's putting it mildly. We were listening to the Lux Radio Theater just before you came in.
Yeah, it's nice to know that someone remembers the good old days.
Why is that, Breezy? Having trouble remembering your misspent youth?
No, I was simply thinking about how things have changed since Chrysler Airtemp got started back in 1934. You know, most things have changed radically since then.
Yeah, what this country needs nowadays is a good 5-cent nickel.
But there's one thing that has stood the test of time.
Oh?
Airtemp's dedication to quality and whole house air conditioning equipment. And you can prove it for yourself now during Chrysler Airtemp's 40th anniversary.
Imagine, Airtemp is a year older than Jack Benny.
Call your local Airtemp dealer for a free home cooling survey.
Must be a catch.
Now, this year he also has something more. Airtemp 40th anniversary values.
Values?
He offers a better air conditioner than the good old days, the only one with Chrysler engineering.
Fancy that.
And Chrysler's extra care in engineering gives you extra comfort in your home or place of business. Call your Airtemp dealer now for a free home cooling survey. Airtemp 40th anniversary values and Chrysler engineering. Three outstanding reasons to choose Chrysler Airtemp with confidence. Your local announcer has the number.
In Blue Springs, Missouri, the Airtemp dealer for you to call is Giacomo Sheet Metal at 229-1809. In Overland Park, Kansas, call Trogue Nickel Service at 888-2101. And in Kansas City, Kansas, call Schuler Electric Company at 262-2969.
Hey, Breezy.
Yeah, pal?
Do me a favor, will you?
I'd love to, pal, but I got to go.
That's it.
Oh. So long, pal. Bye, Chuck.
So long. Hey, that was a pretty good commercial, huh?
Hmm? Commercial?
I didn't hear it, Chuck.
You didn't hear it?
No, I was thinking about some old shows I always... Commercial, huh?
Gee, I sure hate to miss commercials.
What was it about? Oh, the announcer was telling... Oh, come on. Let's get back to Monday night on memory lane, huh? Remember the telephone hour and the voice of Firestone?
And Fred Waring and his Pennsylvanians. Boy, did they make music.
Oh, and how... And hey, the Screen Guild Players, they were on Monday nights. Remember that?
Yeah. Followed Lux, didn't it?
Right, and they both did radio versions of movies. You know, listening to those two in a row was like seeing a double feature.
Only instead of seeing a double feature, you heard one.
Yeah, but you saw the pictures, too, in your mind.
You betcha. That was one of the great things about radio.
Yeah.
You provided the pictures yourself. The actors and the sound men furnished the sounds, but the listener did the rest.
Oh, it was just great. You know, you dreamed up the costumes, you built the sets in your minds, you pictured the people just the way you wanted them to look.
Like that worried husband with the nervous voice and the big bow tie and his pretty blonde wife.
Oh, the Bumsteads, Dagwood and Blondie. Hey, do you think this old super heterodyne could possibly pick up Dagwood and Blondie again?
I'm working on it.
Hey, that's funny. I know Mr. Dithers must be in his office. I'd better look. Oh, well, good morning, Mr. Dithers. Well, how do you feel after last night, huh?
Oh, my head. No.
I know, but how do you feel?
Oh, my head.
How's your buddy, Joe Klotz?
Oh, his head, too.
Oh, gosh, that's too bad. I guess it's a good thing Blondie took me home.
Bumstead, I feel awful. Oh, my head. Shut the door, Bumstead.
Okay, J.C.
No! You have to slam it?
Huh?
Now my ears are ringing.
No. That's the phone, Mr. Diddy. I'll get it. Hello? Oh, yes, Blondie. What? You think Alexander's really gone? Oh, my. This is all my fault, Blondie, dear. Okay, I'll find out where the circus went to today and see if he's there. Goodbye.
What's the matter?
Alexander's... Well, he's left home to join the circus, and I gotta go find him.
Oh, that's nothing new.
What?
Every boy wants to run away and join a circus at some time or other. Mm. I remember when I was 7, I told my father that for 2 cents I'd run away from home.
What happened?
The easiest 2 cents I ever made.
See, I wonder where the circus went to.
Oh, I think it's in Sheridan City today.
Mm.
Go ahead and find your little bumlet.
When I can get a bus for Sheridan City. Hey, that looks like Mrs. Bob Orpington's big long limousine coming this way. Hey, Mrs. Bob Orpington, hey! Hi, Mrs. Bob Orpington.
Mr. Bumstead, hello, hello there, dear boy.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fit as a fiddle. Oh, you don't happen to play violin, do you?
No, I don't.
Too bad. You know, this morning I went to the gymnasium for a little exercise. Oh, they have the handsomest new gym instructor. He left me simply breathless.
Oh, he did?
Yes, he hit me in the stomach with a medicine ball.
What did you do?
What did I do? Well, I did what any well-bred person would do. I turned blue. How are you, dear?
Oh, not too good.
Oh, you look very good to me. So strong, so handsome, so Gregory Peckish. But tell me, what's the trouble?
Well, my son wanted to run away from home, you see. And he wanted to join a circus or get a billy goat, and I told him that he'd have to choose between the goat and me, so he took the goat.
You know, I ran away from home when I was 10.
Did you want a billy goat?
No, I wanted a minky coat.
Oh, doggone it, it did it again.
What happened?
Oh, the solenoid on the thermocouple blew a hemostat again. You know what I mean?
I haven't the foggiest.
Well, the science of electronomics is a very scientific science, bud. But maybe I can explain it to you in sort of layman's language.
Layman's language?
Yeah, Thelma Lehman. She was my language teacher in school back in Peoria, you see.
Oh, her.
I don't mind admitting that the reason I got such a great grasp of grammar is strictly on account of due to the fact that it was Thelma Lehman English was taught me by.
She must have made a great impression on you.
You betcha. She taught me stuff I've never forgot. Stuff like a preposition is something you shouldn't never end a sentence with. And watch your ifs, ands, and but out if you don't know what you're talking about. All stuff like that there.
That's very interesting, Mr. McGee, but what about the thermocouple on the hemostat? Can you fix it?
Oh, sure. Just takes time to... there. Ah, that's okay now.
Oh, good. Now, there was a great Monday show I love to hear again. Remember Dr. IQ, the mental banker?
I have a lady in the balcony, doctor.
Give that lady $10.
Well, I don't have $10, but I may be able to find $1 for you here.
Oh, I bet you mean Johnny Dollar.
Mary Ellen Markham dies on or before November 10th. Lloyd's of England pays Dr. Albert Schwinner $250,000 on a policy taken out by him. And he is her doctor with her life in his hands. And if there isn't something wrong with that setup. Expense account item $6, $8 for a taxi to Schwinner's address in Union City, New Jersey. And there at last I learned what the CL meant behind his name. It was an abbreviation, for this was the Albert Schwinner Clinic, devoted to the study of rare diseases of the blood. But Schwinner wasn't there. He'd gone to New York to see Miss Markham. Item $7, $10 even for a fast taxi ride back there to Manhattan. As the nurse led me into the unfortunate woman's apartment, he was just coming out of the bedroom door.
Oh, Dr. Schwinner, this is Mr. Johnny Dollar.
Oh, Mr. Dollar, Harry Baxter told me I might expect you.
Oh, he did, huh?
Yes, he phoned me just before his plane took off for Europe.
Pretty smart.
You're an insurance investigator, aren't you?
That is right.
Oh, you may go in to see Miss Markham now, Mrs. Haskell.
Very well, Doctor.
How is Miss Markham, Doctor?
Much better, thank God.
Why do you say that?
What?
If she dies before this week is out, you stand to collect a cool $250,000, don't you?
I? No, the clinic.
Isn't that the same thing?
Hardly. Sit down, Mr. Dollar. Now, you're concerned about the rather unorthodox insurance policy that Mr. Baxter issued.
I certainly am.
I think you better let me tell you the reason for it.
I think you'd better.
At the onset of her illness some 15 years ago, the best doctors in the country gave her 5 years to live at the most.
And that's when you came into the picture?
Yes. Because of the devotion, the concentration of all our efforts to this one field of medicine, the clinic was able for the first time to give her hope. Her hope was justified. We have given her years of life.
But now, wait a minute, Doctor.
She told us then that if she could be helped to live until she was 50...
And that'll be on the 10th.
Yes. That would prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that our methods, our practices were right. That we could prolong and possibly ultimately save not only her own, but thousands, perhaps millions of lives. Therefore, she agreed that if she reached 50, she would make an outright gift of $250,000 to the clinic and its work. Money which is much needed, by the way.
But then it began to look as though she might never reach 50.
Yes. And she suggested this unusual insurance policy on her death rather than on her life.
I see. But why Harry Baxter, chairman of the board of the insurance company, its biggest stockholder, whatever? I don't get it.
Baxter's own mother died of the same disease, Mr. Dollar.
Oh. Of course. Then he knew how necessary this money is to the clinic.
Yes. And let's face it, Baxter is something of an eccentric.
And that's the reason he chose this offbeat way to make sure you'd get the financial help you need.
Exactly.
Then if I try to get this policy canceled,
a great many lives in the future may depend on its remaining in force. Of course, if you feel it your duty.
Doctor, my duty as I see it is to do just exactly nothing. Mary Ellen Markham did live to see 50, but only for a few days. Just long enough to make her gift to the clinic. Harry Baxter and the company? Well, Harry came back from Europe and he said he found some, quote, mistake, unquote, in the policy that requires the company to pay off on it anyway. Eccentric? We should have more of them like that. Expense account total? Are you kidding? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Dad Raddatz, I lost her.
Hey, isn't that Mr. Thor?
Huh?
There, on the center of the dial. Isn't that Larry Thor, the announcer who was here a little while ago?
No, that's just a grease ant. Brizzy's too big to fit on a tiny dial like this.
I mean, isn't that his voice?
Wouldn't surprise me. That guy turns up in more places than a caterpillar with St. Vitus Dance. He's got so many irons in the fire that...
And speaking of fire, many homeowners who remember those fiery days of last summer are wondering what to do about heatwave weather this year.
Attach a fan to Brizzy's jawbone and he could cool off Sun City in seconds.
Well, your local air temp dealer has the answer. A complete line of home cooling systems for every need and budget. And you couldn't pick a better time than right now to call him.
Why is that?
Because this is Chrysler Air Temp's 40th anniversary, and their 40 years of experience adds up to the finest modern air conditioning. Quiet, efficient, dependable.
You don't say.
And today, when you choose Air Temp, you get more than a good air conditioner.
You get the only one with Chrysler Engineering.
You get the only one with Chrysler Engineering.
I just said that.
That's double value. So call your Chrysler Air Temp dealer for a free home cooling survey. He'll show you some really fine values. In addition, he'll give you something special from the good old days. A free Air Temp 40th anniversary gift.
What kind of free gift?
A free rip-tickling comedy record of the good old days of radio. It's a $5.95 value.
Say.
Wow.
And it features comedy highlights from radio's golden age.
Gee, how can I get one?
To get your free home cooling survey and your free record, call your participating Air Temp dealer. Here's your local announcer with the number.
In Belton, Missouri, the Air Temp dealer for you to call is Woodruff Heating and Cooling at 331-4347. In Kansas City, Kansas, call Air Cooling and Energy at 621-5573. And in Overland Park, Kansas, call Trogue Nichols Service at 888-2101.
You're listening to Fibber McGee and the Good Old Days of Radio, brought to you by Chrysler Air Temp and their thousands of dealers coast to coast. You know, many people still remember the good old days when a dollar was worth every penny. Chrysler Air Temp does. They've seen a lot of hot weather come and go since 1934 when they made their first air conditioner. For 40 years, Chrysler Air Temp has been dedicated to quality in air conditioning. Today's Air Temp home cooling systems reflect this dedication in every detail. There's one for every budget and every cooling need from 2 to 5 tons. And today, when you choose Air Temp, you get the only air conditioner with Chrysler Engineering. That's double value. So call your local dealer for a free home cooling survey. In addition, he'll give you a free, rib-tickling record of the good old days of radio. It's a $5.95 value featuring comedy highlights from radio's golden age. To get your free Air Temp home cooling survey and your free record, call your participating Air Temp dealer now. Check the yellow pages under air conditioning and choose Chrysler Air Temp with confidence. Now let's get back to 79 Wistful Vista, where Fibber McGee and super radio fan Chuck Shaden are listening to great old radio programs on Fibber's Great Old Radio.
You know who I saw a picture of the other day, Mr. McGee? Kate Smith.
Oh, yeah. She was singing on the air before you were born, Chuck. Kate was a big star by the early 30s, and she's still going strong.
Oh, yeah, a lot of moons have come over the mountain since she first started singing about it.
Hey, speaking of moons, you remember Buck Rogers and his trips to the moon?
Buck Rogers in the 25th century. Sure I do.
Yeah, he deserves a lot of credit, Buck Rogers does. If it hadn't have been for him, them guys at Cape Canaveral wouldn't have known where to start.
You're probably right. Remember Dick Tracy and Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy?
Sure. I used to listen to Little Orphan Annie, even.
Oh, and what about Captain Midnight? Oh, what a guy he was.
Hey, I got a genuine Orphan Annie shake-up mug, you know what?
I've got a Captain Midnight secret decoder. Boy, I used to sit in front of my radio and listen to those cereals one right after another.
Yeah, they were all sponsored by cornflakes, shredded wheat, oatmeal, all stuff like that there. That's why they called them cereals, of course.
I didn't know that.
Oh, naturally. You wouldn't call a show that was put on by a cereal company a soap opera, would you?
No, but I just never thought of it that way. Anyway, I sure loved the prizes we got for sending box tops into those shows.
Well, of course, I was a little old for that stuff, Chuck, but seems like I had to wait forever to get that shake-up mug.
Oh, it always seemed like forever. That's why the kids like Kellogg's Pep so much.
Pep?
Sure, the prize came right in the package. You got a whole model airplane and a package of cereal.
I could never get mine to fly, though.
And Superman? That was the program they sponsored. Hey, see if you can tune in Superman.
Nothing to it, my boy.
Kellogg's Pep, the super delicious cereal, presents
The Adventures of Superman.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
Yes, it's Superman. And today, fellows and girls, we will learn the identity of the young boy Superman found in the rowboat. When an unsigned note addressed to Superman was left at the Daily Planet requesting the Man of Steel to come to the North Bay at once, Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen, sensing a possible story, rented a boat and rowed out on the bay. To their amazement, they found a drifting rowboat without oars, and in the bottom of it, an unconscious boy. As the two reporters started back to shore with the boy, they were run down by a large speedboat and left struggling in the icy water. Clinging to the boy as the tide swept them out to sea, Jimmy had lost consciousness, and Lois was beginning to go under when Superman appeared just in time to save them all from drowning. Then, Superman made a startling discovery. The boy, wearing a cape, a red leather vest with a letter R on it. He must be... Great Scott. Up with him.
Up and away!
I'll take Jim and Lois home. Then I want a word with this boy. He's who I think he is. No, wait a minute. He's wounded. There's the doctor's house down there. Down to it. Down! There. Better get back into Kent's clothes. Save a lot of explanation. Should put these three down for a moment. There. Now to become a Daily Planet reporter again. Horns and glasses, voice and all. There, that does it. The doctor's in. Cut on the boy's head doesn't look too good.
Yes, who's... Good heavens, what's this?
These three people were just fished out of the bay, Doctor. They're suffering from submersion. May I bring them in?
Yes, of course. Let me get...
Boy, did you used to wish you were Superman like I did?
Oh, sure. Who didn't? Shows I always liked best, though, were stuff like The Lone Ranger, Tom Mix, and Hopalong Cassidy.
Ah, the westerns, huh? How about Gunsmoke? Ever listen to that?
Oh, sure. I heard Matt Dillon fight it out with the bad guys lots of times.
Did you ever watch Cannon, the detective show on TV now?
Yeah, but what that got to do with what we...
Well, did you know that Bill Conrad, that's the guy who plays Cannon on TV, he was Matt Dillon on radio for years?
No kidding. From the sound of his voice, I'd have thought he was 8 feet tall. instead of 8 feet wide.
You really liked all those shows about the early West, didn't you?
Yeah, that's on account of because of my background, Chuck. I come from an old pioneer family myself. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, sure. My Uncle Buckshot McGee was known all over the West. He was a rancher, cattle rustler, gunfighter, whiskey drummer. He done everything.
Sounds like a busy man.
Oh, yeah, and smart as a whip. Rode out west in 1850 on a borrowed burro with a hat full of beads and traded the Indians out of the whole state of Vancouver.
Vancouver? Well, that's not a state.
Well, that's how he found out the Indians were smarter than he was. Didn't faze old Uncle Buckshot, though. He loved the frontier life.
Had the Old West in his blood, did he?
Yeah, had a lot of his blood in the Old West, too. He was always in shooting scrapes. He used to come home shot full of holes like a politician's alibi.
Sounds like a dangerous life to me.
You bet it was. Took brave men in them days, boy. And brave women, too. Uncle Buck's wife herself was a well-known gunslinger.
A woman gunslinger? Most women don't like guns.
She hated them. Every time she got hold of Uncle Buck's guns, she'd sling them in the creek. He'd fish him out, and she'd sling him in again.
Oh, a gun slinger. I thought you...
Got so every time he'd get in an argument at the saloon, and some cowpoke would say, "Go for your guns, mister." Uncle Buck would have to run home, jump in the creek, get his guns out, and dry them off, and load them up, and by the time he got back to the saloon, they got what the heck they were arguing about.
Oh, so they'd call off the shooting.
Yep, they'd wind up slapping each other on the back and drinking all night to celebrate their new friendship. It kept Uncle Buck from getting shot. It just about ruined the poor guy's liver.
Don't tell me he was finally cut down by old John Barleycorn.
No, sir. Uncle Buck's long and glorious career was brought to an end by a gopher.
A gopher? You're kidding.
Well, what happened was the bank was robbed one day, and the merchants got up a posse to catch the bandit, you see. Uncle Buckshot was leading the posse, naturally, lickety-split across the prairie.
He was their leader?
Yeah. He was leading the posse by about 100 yards when his horse stepped in the gopher hole, fell on Uncle Buck, and pinned him down, and the posse caught him with the loot, red-handed.
And that was the end of Buckshot McGee.
Yeah, and it'll be the end of us, too, if we don't get some more programs going on this old radio. Hey, wait a minute. I know what I can get. You'll have to use your imagination, though. This will take a lot of imagination.
So did the saga of Uncle Buck. Anyway, what do you want me to imagine?
Close your eyes and pretend you're a kid again. You're listening to your radio.
Oh, okay. I'm in the old living room. I'm on the floor.
Yeah.
All the lights are out. All except the one behind the dial of the floor model console radio.
The one with the flickering green eye?
Yeah, and that eerie green light. Listen.
Step in the dead of night. The crime that is almost committed. The stir of nerves at the ticking of the clock. The rescue that might be too late. Or the murderer who might get away. Mystery and intrigue and dangerous adventure. We invite you to enjoy stories that keep you in suspense.
Suspense. Tonight we present The Body Snatchers by John Dixon Carr.
Beware of the body snatcher who prowls after dark. Beware of the graves he robs. Beware of the murders he commits to provide new corpses for the doctors.
Up to the year 1832, the body snatchers terrorized England. According to the law, only 4 bodies a year could legally be supplied to the surgeons for anatomical study. And even these were a monopoly granted to the Barbers and Surgeons Company of London. But the study of surgery had to go on. In hundreds of medical schools all over England, perfectly reputable doctors were compelled to buy bodies and ask no questions. In 1828, burst the scandal of Burke and Hare, who found grave robbing too slow and murdered 16 persons in order to supply Dr. Knox of Edinburgh. And so, out of basic good purpose, sprang the evil of...
the body snatcher.
Turn back the clock now to a cold night just 110 years ago. Look into the brick kitchen of a house on Wandsworth Common, not far from London. There in the light of a tallow dip sits old Mother Slade in her draggled bonnet.
That's a keeping 'em. 2 hours. 2 mortal hours for the Dutch clock. And they're not here yet.
Mother Slade?
And the graveyard not half a mile off. And once I thought I heard church bells ring. And one...
Mother Slade, did you call?
No, my girl, I did not call.
But I thought I...
And what are you doing up at this hour, my girl?
I was only going to say, I thought I heard a horse and cart in the lane.
In our lane?
Yes, Mother Slade. There it is now.
Yes. Easy, my dears. Drive easy with the merchandise. The doctors don't like it if you bump the merchandise.
Merchandise, Mother Slade? What's that?
I'll tell you what it is, my girl.
I didn't mean anything, Mother Slade.
It's your Uncle Matt and your Cousin Rob are coming home from their business. That's what it is. You hear that, Piggy Lister?
I didn't mislay your snuffbox. It's on the table.
And if you don't want me to take my fingernails to you instead of a strap, you get on up to bed this minute, do you?
Yes, Mother Slade.
I'm a-coming, my dears. Don't be impatient. I'm a-coming. Nasty dim light this candle gives. Oh, Mother Slade has got the rheumatics so cruel she can hardly move. Just pull back the bar. Open the door. Wilmette, did you get it?
Did we get it? Strike my blind, but that's a good one, ain't it, Rob?
Stir the gad, cord you dip. Get inside and close the door.
They ain't after you.
Ain't they? Can't you hear anything?
I thought I heard church bells.
More like a perishing funeral bell, if you ask me.
Take it easy, Rob. Take it easy. We've shaken them off.
Have we? I wish I was as certain as some people. The spades and sack is still in the cart.
Let them stay. Who's a coming to find them?
Then you didn't get it after all, you six pal Peter.
Now, don't you start a-blaming us.
Now, you shut your potato trap, Mother Slade, or Matt'll make you shut it.
What happened?
I'll tell you what happened. We was too quick, that's what. The girl was only buried this afternoon.
The sooner the better, my dear. What's the good of the merchandise if it ain't fresh, eh?
You hold your noise and listen. We left the horse and cart outside like we always do. We creeps up to the lych gate of the churchyard. Don't make such a bloody row with them shovels.
I can't help it. I'm loaded down with all this stuff.
Oh, and who'll do all the work when we do get there? I will.
Matt.
Aye?
Listen.
I can't hear nothing except your teeth a-chattering.
Matt, there's other people besides us in this here churchyard.
Aye, 200 or 300 deaders. But they won't bother us.
I means living people.
Don't talk soft.
Somebody's got a dark lantern. I seen it flash past the gravestones.
Oh? Where?
Can't you see it now? It's a-coming straight toward us.
Yes, I see him. Come on.
They've seen us, Matt.
That's up, Peter. Let him in, Matt.
He's down beyond the gravestones. Crouch down. They can't shoot through stone.
Matt, He says he is sacred to the memory
it's
of
the girl's relatives. They've been watching her grave. If only I had me Barkis. First time in 2 years I've gone without a brace of pistols, and this happens.
But you ain't got your Barkers, Matt Patterson.
I got what's just as good. Give me a shovel.
What are you going to do?
Sergeant, this here shovel's got a nice edge.
Are you daft?
They'll have to take time out to reload, won't they? Hear that? Somebody started the bill. That'll bring down every peel within a mile. If you want a Tyburn ticket and a nick in your rope, stop where you are. But if you don't want to get scragged before your time, follow me.
What's that?
Oh, just a doorbell, Mr. McGee.
Oh, for a minute there, I was in suspense. Come in.
Hi, pal.
Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Mr. Thor.
Hi, Breezy. What blew you in just as we were here in suspense? Which you interrupted us during the most exciting part of it, but it don't matter none since probably you can't stay too long anyhow.
Now, hold on there, pal. You should be glad I stopped by again.
Why is that?
Because, pal, I'm here to remind you of some important facts about Chrysler Air Temp Whole House Air Conditioning.
You mean you barged in here right in the middle of suspense just to chit-chat about air conditioning?
Of course, pal. When the temperature hits 90 this summer, you'll need more than a spine-chilling radio adventure to stay cool.
I know that, Junior. What's your point?
Well, simply that it's Chrysler Air Temp's 40th anniversary, and what better time for people to get Air Temp Whole House Air Conditioning?
Air Temp makes good cooling systems, do they?
Ever since 1934, and Air Temp has come up with some terrific improvements over the past 40 summers.
I remember the summer of 42.
Like the first corrosion-resistant all-aluminum refrigeration coil.
Was that a movie, too? I never cared much for science fiction.
No, pal. The all-aluminum refrigeration coil is science fact. Air Temp invented it and helped cut down corrosion problems.
You sure you don't have to go now?
Anything you say, pal. Just wanted you to know, Air Temp puts something into air conditioning nobody else can.
And what might that there be?
Chrysler Engineering, pal.
Oh.
Only Air Temp air conditioning equipment has it. And that means extra care in engineering. That's why we say you can choose Chrysler Air Temp with confidence.
Now that I know, can your listeners get more information?
Better yet, they can get a free home cooling survey from their nearest Chrysler Air Temp dealer. Just turn the dial of your radio to the local station for his name and phone number.
I'll give it a whirl.
In Kansas City, Kansas, the Air Temp dealers for you to call are Schuler Electric Company at 262-2969 and Air Cooling and Energy at 621-5573. And in Kansas City, Missouri, call D.H. Carter Refrigeration Company at 444-8733.
Look, Mr. McGee, while we were listening, Mr. Thor ducked out.
Yes, nicest thing he's done for us all day.
Boy, hearing suspense again really sent a shiver down my spine. What's next?
I don't know. A lot of big Monday shows in here if I can get them out. Speaking of Mondays, Chuck, did you know that at one time you could get the McGees on Monday night?
McGee? I didn't know that. You and Molly on Mondays?
Yep.
You know, everything I've ever read about you said Tuesday night.
Well, that shows you shouldn't believe everything you read, Sonny. Just believe the stuff you don't read. We started on Monday nights back in 1936 opposite George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Well, if you were once on Monday, then we should be able to get you on Monday now.
Oh, no. This set won't work on me.
What do you mean? Are you telling me this Heterodyne isn't so super after all?
There aren't any Monday night McGee shows left in this old radio, Chuck, because Burns and Allen knocked us off on Monday night airwaves back in those days. That's why we moved to Tuesday nights.
You mean...
Yep. You remember the old saying, don't you? Sunday's child is fair of face, Monday night is George and Grace.
Oh, Mr. McGee. Oh, come on, please. Try and get me a Fibber McGee and Molly show from a Monday. It won't hurt to try because this radio...
All right, I'll try it, but I... I told you, Burns and Allen took over that spot.
You got a letter from your sister, Bessie.
Oh, Bessie.
What does she say? What does she say?
She's just wonderful herself. But her son, Willie.
Willie? Willie, that's the one with the high blood pressure.
Yeah, that's...
The one who sleeps on the floor to keep his blood pressure down.
Yeah, that's the one.
Smart kid.
Yes.
What about Willie?
Well, he broke his back.
I'm glad to hear that.
Huh?
Broke his back? How did he do that?
Well, on account of he's left-handed.
He broke his back because he's left-handed?
Yeah. Well, you see what happened was, he had a donut in his right-hand pocket, and when he went to take it out with his left hand,
he broke his back?
Yeah.
Well, Well, you tell Bessie the next time to tell Willie that if he's got a donut in his right-hand pocket, to try to take it out with his right hand.
Yeah, but that's hard to do when you have your pants on backwards.
Pants on backwards.
Yes. Well, you see what happened was he had a suit of clothes with two pairs of pants, and he put one pair on frontwards and one pair on backwards.
So that he could go either way?
That's when the truck hit him.
The truck? What truck?
The truck that didn't have a slide slip.
Why did the truck have a slide slip?
Because he had...
Hold it, hold it! Did the guy in the truck have his pants on backwards, or did Willie have his pants on backwards?
Oh, Judge, you're trying to confuse me.
I'm confusing you?
Willie had his pants on backwards.
Oh, but the fellow in the truck, why didn't he have his light slip?
He didn't have to, it was daytime.
No, that's how the fellow. But if he had his pants on backwards, I mean, the fellow in the truck, if he had his light slip, didn't he see Willie coming?
He didn't know it was Willie. He saw two pairs of pants coming toward him, and he drove between them.
Goodbye.
Fibber and Chuck will be back in a minute. You know, Chrysler Air Temp's 40th anniversary is more than just another happy occasion. It's the perfect time to remember how fortunate we are in this day and age. Oh, sure, I like the good old days as much as the next person. But then was then, and now is now. And while most everything else has changed radically since the good old days, at least one thing has stood the test of time. Air Temp's dedication to quality in air conditioning. And today, with Air Temp, you get the only air conditioner with Chrysler engineering. Call your nearest participating Chrysler Air Temp dealer now. He'll give you a free home cooling survey. He'll check out your air conditioning needs according to the style of your home and the size of your family. Then, he'll recommend the Air Temp system that's best for you. Your Air Temp dealer has the knowledge and experience to back up every installation. And this season, he also has something more. An Air Temp 40th anniversary gift for every homeowner who calls for a free home cooling survey. The gift is a free comedy record of the good old days of radio. It features great comedy stars and great comedy shows from original broadcasts of the 1940s and 50s. A $5.95 value, it lets you enjoy the humorous highlights of radio's golden age again and again. Remember, call your local Air Temp dealer for your free home cooling survey and your free record. And get his best price on whole house air conditioning equipment that's quiet, efficient, and dependable. Look in the yellow pages under air conditioning and choose Chrysler Air Temp with confidence. And now, let's get back to Fibber McGee and Chuck Shaden at 79 Wistful Vista.
Ah, there it goes again, Chuck. Dad rat this beat-up old radio anyhow. Stopped completely, has it? I'll say completely. It's deader than chances for an income tax cut.
We've really just started our week of listening to those good old days of radio, Mr. McGee. What are we going to do?
I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to do what I did when this old set conked out on us a couple of weeks ago.
What's that?
I'm going to sign off. Call it a day.
Oh, no, wait, not yet. I mean, well, you know, I was hoping we could pick up some of those great Tuesday shows on that old set.
What's so special about Tuesday?
Aw, come on now. You, of all people, know how great Tuesday night was in those good days.
No, tell me about it again. Go on, tell me.
Now, that's when Fibber McGee and Molly were the brightest stars in a whole evening of bright stars.
Oh, sure.
Like Bob Hope and Red Skelton and...
Well, I'll probably have to tear this old radio down completely and put it together backwards again, I guess. But I'll try.
Oh, good.
It'll take a couple of weeks to do it, though.
It'll be worth the wait. I'll be back again to hear the big Tuesday radio shows.
And I'll be here, boy. Good night.
You've been listening to Fibber McGee and the Good Old Days of Radio, presented by the makers of Chrysler Air Temp, air conditioning for the home, for business, and for industry. With Jim Jordan, Chuck Shaden, great voices from radio's golden age, and me, Larry Thor. Fibber McGee and the Good Old Days of Radio was written by Bill Leslie, produced by Todd Kaiser, directed by Jim Dolan, and is a copyrighted presentation of Radioland Productions, Incorporated.